State troopers say they've solved the case of a kidnapping and sexual assault of an 8-year-old girl in Wasilla 2 decades ago. Brooks E. Jackson, who is now deceased, has been linked to the crime through DNA evidence that he submitted after a conviction for growing marijuana 14 years after the abduction. With us on the line is Lieutenant Craig Allen of the Alaska Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Public Safety's division that investigates major crimes and crimes against children. Thanks for joining us this morning, sir.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be on.
How significant is solving this case?
I think it's extremely significant. I don't know that we very often have an opportunity to look back on something that was this important and find a resolution for it after such a long time frame.
This important, is that because of the manpower that was involved in the original search, or the time since the original incident?
Those factors certainly are worth consideration, but also I have to think of, you know, we have a crime here with a victim that has for 20 years wondered who did this crime and who's responsible for it, and when am I going to be feeling safe in my community.
What was the turning point in this case? What broke it wide open after 20 years?
Well, without a doubt, the thing that opened this case wide open for us was the DNA work that was done at the State Crime Detection Laboratory. From the original investigation, there were samples of evidence that were seized and available at the time that were later worked at the crime lab to identify potential sources of suspect DNA. Those remained in the system for a number of years. In 2005, through another means, a submission of DNA was collected from Brooks Jackson. And when that sample was put into the system and tested and then cross-referenced to available DNA sources in the system, it showed probability of a match.
Now, and forensic analysts in court, they usually say that they're not absolutely certain that it's a perfect match. They always kind of testify in kind of exclusionary terms, like 1 in 5 million chance that it could be someone else. How much certainty do you folks have that the DNA submitted by Jackson is a match to that left by the suspect?
Well, without taking the terminology from the crime lab and the forensic science side of it, we accept that their work indicates that this DNA is within a certain level of certainty from Brooks E. Jackson. In the intervening time frame, we had investigators that actually went back into the field and did some of the investigative work to try to firm up our resolution of this, and that we contacted family members of Brooks Jackson, who is deceased, ended up dying just about a week after this DNA sample was collected from him back in 2005. And in doing that, we were looking to fill in some of the gaps. We wanted to make certain that Brooks Jackson was in the state of Alaska during the time frame. We got that from his family members. We wanted to make certain that, for example, he wasn't incarcerated or otherwise unavailable to be in the community during the time frame that the original event took place. And by covering those bases, same investigative steps we would have done in a current investigation to make certain that there was no room for error in making this determination and relying upon the DNA evidence.
Okay, and this was what you would call a cold case, but this wasn't done by your cold case unit, is that right?
Well, yeah, that's correct. It's a case that remained unsolved for a 20-year period. We have a cold case unit, but in all actuality, that's a unit that's dedicated towards working on unsolved or unresolved homicide cases.
Now, in your follow-up investigation, the observations and sketches made by the girl, those were some of the things that didn't quite pan out, though, did they? Or as far as making a connection?
At the time when the original investigation began in 1991, those pieces of information that were brought forward by the victim at the time were relied upon heavily to keep the interest in the investigation ongoing. In the intervening 20 years, we still have the sketches, we have the information that was made available at the time, but we still haven't been able to locate, for example, that house with those burlwood porches on it, or the burlwood posts on the porch. And not for lack of trying.
And there was also a vehicle used supposedly in the abduction, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and that was never found, was it?
Not through our investigative efforts.
Yeah.
And after 20 years, I don't know if it would even still be on the road, but you just never know.
Any indication that Mr. Jackson's suicide may have been prompted by a potential link to the abduction, or maybe he was distraught for other reasons?
We don't have that information. We just don't know what brought that on.
Now, of course, with him deceased, there's no way that he can mount a defense on his behalf. And, of course, there's also no way that any prosecution can come out of this. Is that right?
Well, we can't prosecute somebody if they're not available to appear in court, obviously. There were some questions that were brought forward to the district attorney so that we could get opinions from that office to review the circumstances as they would fit, as if this person were alive, could there be a prosecution? Those questions were placed just so that we'd be able to give a better representation of the circumstances to the victim and her family.
Long-time Alaska residents may remember this case and what happened, but your agency is not divulging the girl's name, and she's now a young woman, and she wants to keep her privacy. But your department has contacted her as well as the Jackson family in this?
Well, that was part of the investigative effort that we undertook between the time that the crime lab was able to provide us with the information about the DNA work that had been done. We contacted family members from both sides. One is, as I indicated before, was to proceed with the investigative steps that we still have to firm up or confirm the resolution of this matter. The other is to, quite frankly, let these involved parties know that this was going to be a newsworthy event and it was going to be made. This information was going to be made public.
So you just kind of gave them a heads up that this was going to happen. As someone who has been a trooper and an investigator for quite some period of time, 2 decades if I remember right, what sort of satisfaction is there for closing or solving a case like this, whether for better or for worse?
Well, there's a couple of things that come to mind. When I think about the work that was done in 1991 to secure the available evidence and to see that it still stands up and it solidifies the case several years later. It reinforces to me that we were doing good work back in 1991 and that the evidence was collected properly and it was stored and made available in a form that would support this kind of a finding so many years later. The other aspect of that is that any time we can, in any of our cases, whether it's a homicide, a sexual assault, or kidnapping, any time that we can find a conclusive resolution to it, to identify the circumstances and the persons involved, I think that we're doing the citizens of the state of Alaska a fairly good service in trying to resolve these things and kind of bring some finality to them.
Lieutenant Craig Allen of the Alaska Bureau of Investigation, thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Glad you had me on.